Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
If I'm president, we're going to build a wall.
We're going to build a wall.
And that wall's going to be a real wall.
We heard from a lot of conservatives who cheered that Donald Trump was doubling down on plans to build the wall and, you know, taking pretty drastic action to get money to actually begin the construction. David Beer is the immigration policy analyst at the Cato Institute, and David's with us this morning to expose a potential conflict for a lot of two issues that conservatives feel very strongly about, the wall being one of them, and the idea that eminent domain should be rarely used by the federal government to take property to build projects like this. Why is this such a problem here, David?
Well, look, you have to understand that, you know, how the eminent domain process actually takes place at the border and in the interior as well is really problematic from the standpoint of a constitutional conservative. What the federal government does is they'll take your property immediately and they'll be able to do whatever they want with it. And in the meantime, they'll say, well, here's your compensation that we're required to give you. It's a dollar or it's $10 or, you know, something just sitting in a escrow account for
it's,
you.
It's not fair and market it, value?
No. Nothing even close to that.
Huh.
And they'll just put that in an escrow account and they'll say, if you don't think that's fair market value, then you can go to a court and get a judgment and we'll pay you what the fair market value of your property is. Not, of course, what you would pay, what you would be willing to give it up, but
right,
just what the going market rate is.
Mm-hmm.
And the real problem with that is that you have no negotiating power. And your property has already been taken.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really puts the property owner, especially someone who may not have the means or, you know, the money to afford going without their property, you know, talking about ranchers who operate on a low margin. You're talking about some people in many cases who are just very small property owners who may be losing their entire plot of land that they live on. And so what we saw in 2006 under the Bush administration were people signing off to give up their entire property for values that were nowhere near the fair market value simply because they couldn't afford to go through the process of taking the government to court and suing them. And so what has been proposed by Democrats and Republicans if through legislation would require the government to pay up front what a court determined to be fair market value before they do any construction of the border wall. So reforming that process would go a long way to put the property owner back in the driver's seat and really restore the constitutional process, which says you can't take property before just compensation.
Right.
Has been provided.
Now, I think that's a very good point and a very good argument to make. Now, from a practical standpoint, how big a problem is this as it relates to the wall? We're talking, 2,000 miles. So how much of this wall will actually require the use of eminent domain?
Well, it certainly depends on how much the government decides to build.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, almost all of the land in Texas that's under consideration for border wall construction is private property. So you're talking about nearly 100% of the property that's going to be used to construct the border wall right now is under this funding provided by Congress, at least, not this emergency declaration. We talk about that. But money that was provided by Congress, it's all private property that's going to be taken.
From a practical standpoint, David, wouldn't you, and you know, maybe this is my naivete about the way this wall would be actually be constructed. You know, it's not just a cutout on a piece of paper here, but wouldn't it only require taking a small slice of the edge of the property? Or is that naive of me to think that it's actually going to butt up against the actual?
That right there, you nailed the nail right there. I mean, that's the problem, is that you're not building at the physical border. Mm-hmm. You're building far into the interior, particularly in Texas, because in Texas, you have the Rio Grande there. So you can't build right up against the river almost anywhere, because you have to allow for the river to expand and the floodplain to exist. And so you really end up cutting far into the interior, sometimes more than 10 miles inland, and you cut right through people's property. You're talking about farmers, ranchers, you know, even golf courses and businesses, you know. So you're really talking about something that's not at the physical border.
I'm guessing that this is only resolved with actual litigation from those who would be impacted, unless the Congress takes action to begin to resolve it.
Right, yeah. So you'd have to have Congress change the process or restrict it in some way. They really haven't done that. The funding legislation actually did provide local authorities some ability to challenge or veto certain fence construction. But only in a very narrow part of the Texas-Mexico border. Everywhere else is still just open season for eminent domain.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's an important conversation to have, because you know that people on my side of the aisle would be raising Cain if this was to take somebody's property in the middle of, you know, Virginia or middle of another state. So it is legitimate to have the conversation and to think through it philosophically and practically when it's happening on the southern border. David Beer, immigration policy analyst with Cato Institute. Appreciate you joining us this morning. Thank you.
Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.